hold of this, that you'll get a hold of this prayer that Moses is praying. I've been praying this prayer regularly. The Lord's really helped me just by praying this prayer. All right, Exodus chapter 33, got to get at it. And the prayer begins in verse number 12, and Moses said unto the Lord, "See, thou sayest unto me, bring up this people. Thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. Yet thou hast said," boy, I like that, "thou hast said, I know thee by name." Aren't you glad God knows you by name? Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice and they follow me." He said, "I know them." He said, "I call them by name." I'm glad God knows your name today. He said, "And thou hast also found grace in my sight. Now therefore, I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight." Here's his first prayer request. "Show me now thy way." We preached on that last Sunday morning. Knowing God's way. And this is the reason that we'll know God's way, that I may know thee. That's why we ought to know God's way. That we may know him. And that we may find grace in thy sight. Folks, listen. It's grace upon grace upon grace, but he giveth more grace. How many figured out the farther you go in your Christian walk, you're going to need more grace and more grace and more grace and more grace and more grace. But the Bible said where sin did abound, grace did much more abound. The Bible said, "My grace is sufficient for thee." Now, I want to tell you this morning, if you don't know anything about Christianity, we're living by the grace of God. Everything that happens, we serve by the grace of God. We keep going by the grace of God. By the grace of God, we are what we are. And you ought to wrap that word grace around your soul this morning. Amen. Just wrap the word grace around it. That's what Moses is doing here. Five times, he's laying a hold of the precious promise that the grace of God would be with him. Then he comes down and says, in verse number 14, this is the next prayer request. Number one was, "Show me thy way." Number two, he said, "My presence will go with thee, and I will give thee rest." And here it is in verse 15. He, Moses, said unto him, "God, if thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence." Moses said, "Lord, I don't want to go forward in my life without your presence in my midst. You're not going to be a spoke on my life. You're going to be the hub. Well, God, I want you in the midst of this thing. I don't want you just an exterior thing that's tacked onto my life. I want Christ in the center of my life." And he's saying, "God, whatever I'm doing, if I'm milking cows, if I'm selling sales, if I'm preaching, if I'm working at the factory, if I'm farming, whatever, Lord, I'm doing, I want you in the middle of it." Oh, today, let me tell you something you want to get excited about life. Get God in the middle, in the presence. Listen, Adam and Eve's problem was they sinned. They hid from the presence of God. The worst thing you'll ever do in your life is to hide from the presence of God. Get God right in the center of your life. Open up your soul and say, "God, show me who I am and who I'm not. But, oh, God, be in the middle of my life." That's what we need. This is what Moses is praying. This is why Moses is a great man of God. This is why Moses saw things most people don't see. And so he comes, continues saying, verse 16, "For wherein shall it be known that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? Is it not that thou goest with us? So shall we be separated." There's that deal. If God's going to be in your presence, you are going to get separated. You're going to get sorted out. Amen. God will do some sorting in your life. And he said there, "I and thy people from all the people that are upon the face of the earth." And you know, Jesus said, "Marvel not that the world hates you. It hated me before it hated you." Y'all not get shocked if people scoff and mock Christianity. I'm going to tell you this, Christianity and believers will never be a popular crowd with this world. So don't expect it. Don't expect it. Expect just the opposite. The Lord, verse 17, said unto Moses, "I will do this thing." Boy, isn't that good? "I will do this thing." He said, "I'm going to answer your prayer. And also thou hast spoken of, for thou hast found grace in my sight." Why did God answer prayer? He said, because grace is unmerited favor of God. It's not because we deserve it. It's because God loves us, likes us, and wants to bless us. Amen. He said, "I'm going to answer your prayer, not because you're a good guy, Moses, but because you have found grace." That's why you want to get grace. "And I know thee by name." Amen. Verse 18, now we're coming up to the third prayer request in this amazing prayer of Moses. And he said, "I beseech thee." Moses said, "I beseech thee." Now that word beseech is a word of deep, humble asking. Humble, please, oh God. That's beseech. It's not just saying, "Oh Lord, do this." Oh God, God, show me thy glory. Beseech is a deep word. It's not just a casual asking. Beseech means to plead, "Oh God, show me thy glory." Now, I want to tell you something. We're on sacred ground right here. Very few people that are saved ever get to this point. of where they honestly and truly want to see and be shown God's glory. But God's glory is what we need to see. So we're going to preach this morning on this third aspect of the prayer. Now let's see what God does in response to this prayer request in verse 18. In verse 19, God said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee. And I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and show mercy on whom I will show mercy. And he said, God said, thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. And the Lord said, verse 21, behold, there is a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock. And it shall come to pass that while my glory passeth by, that I will put thee in the cleft of the rock, and will cover thee with my hand while I pass. And I will take away mine hand, and thou shalt see my back parts, but my face shall not be seen. Now I'm going to say before I start preaching, I am not worthy to preach this. I am not able to preach this. There are some truths in here this morning I'm going to preach that are so rich and so sweet and so heavenly and so marvelous from heaven that I realize before I start the inadequacy of my be able to verbally and convey this thing. But you know what I do know? That the Holy Ghost of God can take His precious Word and can reveal and show us wondrous things out of the law of God. I'm going to give you some stuff this morning that will take you to higher ground. It'll take you beyond the normal realm of Christianity if you're interested. First of all, I want you to see in this prayer request, show me thy glory, Moses' prayer to see God's glory. Please pray for me while I preach this morning. The first thing I see about this thing is that it showed Moses had some genuine spirituality. He wasn't just wanting to coast along, oh Lord, bless me life, oh Lord, bless me, oh Lord, give me work, oh Lord, sue this, oh Lord, do that, and make stuff fall from heaven. Moses said life is more than about God blessing me materially and financially and health-wise. Moses said, God, I'm growing in the Lord. I tell you, Lord, I want to see your glory. That revealed Moses' spirituality. You know what Moses said? Lord, it's not, I don't want to see my glory. I don't want to see the world's glory. Paul said that I may know him. David said, my soul thirsteth after God. The Bible said, do all to the glory of God. What God, Moses is revealing here, hey, we're growing up from we don't want it our glory anymore. That's what I'm trying to say to you. When it's not about us anymore, when it's not about whether people see us and we get the glory for it anymore. You know something, I like what Blair, by the way, Blair, that was a good Sunday school lesson. That was a blessing. When you talk about this thing about being a parent, the truth about us, most of us is, it's just like Karen told me one time, the reason we want our kids to do right and spit white and act right is so it makes us look good and we as parents get the glory. It's not about God getting the glory. God wants the glory. Hey, you know what the Bible said in the Lord's Prayer? Thine is the glory. Thine is the honor. Thine is the power. God wants the glory. God deserves, and by the way, He's the only one that does deserve the glory of God. Now, He wanted to honor the Lord. He wanted to honor God. He had some true spirituality. It had got to the place where it wasn't about Moses anymore. Has it got to the place where it's not about you anymore? Has it got that place? It's not about you anymore. You know, I've been preaching for 30-some years, and you know what? I need to get to the place where it's not about me anymore, Kenny. It wasn't glory to the preacher. You know a lot of church services ain't nothing more than glorifying the preacher. Say amen right there. That's exactly right. One of the reasons, I know I probably ought to go back to the door and shake everybody's hands, but I'm going to tell you what, you're a lot stouter person than I am. If you can have people go by you and shake your hand and say, oh, that was a wonderful message. Oh, that was a wonderful message. Oh, that was one message. Without pretty soon your stinking flesh trying to rob the glory of God. If you get anything out of my message, it'll be because of God. It'll be because of the grace of God, and it should be for God's glory. And if God's not glorified through the preaching, then it's the wrong kind of preaching. Amen. If it glorifies me and if it glorifies this church, if it glorifies people, it is not the preaching of the Word of God. It ought to not be glory to the politician. It ought to not be glory to the actor. It ought to not be glory to the entertainer. I'm telling you, it ought to not be glory to the pastor. Hey, get over it. Grow up. Grow up. Quit giving glory to the pastor. Grow up. Quit giving glory to mankind. Mankind is vile, corrupt, wicked, deceitful above all things. God, to God be the glory, the song says. It ought not glory to the evangelist. It's not glory to the missionary. It's not glory to the singer. It's not glory to the musician. It's not glory to the giver. It's not glory to the servant. It's not glory to the helper. It's not glory to the laborer. And can I say to you this morning, that'll tell you what God will do. God will tan your hide. God will tan my hide if we don't give Him the glory for everything He's done in our life. Any abilities that we have, any intellect that we have, any skills that we have, if we're not giving God the glory, God will take you down. Amen. It's His glory that we live. We're to live under His glory. But to God be the glory. This is when we're truly growing up in the faith. People want glory. That's what you turn on your TV. It's nothing about people. It's nothing but people glory, people glory, people glory, people glory. Seems like the governmental structure in this country anymore is just glory to mankind, glory to mankind. Our entertainments, glory to mankind, glory to mankind. And I'll tell you what, this just the whole world is stealing God's glory. Satan wants glory. He offered Jesus Christ the glory of this world when he tempted him. And Satan will offer you some glory if he can get you to bow down and worship him. When we secretly or openly seek God's glory, we become thieves. Did you ever think about that? If the glory belongs to God and I'm getting it, I'm stealing from him. At that point, I become a thief. Thine is the glory. Let me ask you something. All that you're doing, is it being done unto the glory of God? Number two, not only did Moses pray and have a plea of God, oh God, give me, Lord, let me show me your glory. He would pray in a high and a holy prayer. When's the last time you and I have ever got on our knees and prayed, oh God, I want to see your glory. The second thing is God's plan for seeing the glory. I want you to get a hold of this. Is anybody here interested in seeing the glory of God in your life today? Raise your hand. I'm going to show you right here in this passage of Scripture how to see it. Oh, I'm telling you what, it's good stuff. Amen. God said the first thing I'll do, look there in that passage of Scripture, in verse number 19, He said, I will make all my what pass before you. I'll make all my goodness pass before you. Now, hang on to your seat just a little bit. Did you know that in Genesis chapter 3, when Satan tempted and deceived Adam and Eve, did you know what it was all about? He lied to Adam and Eve, making them think that God was not good to them. Did you ever think about that? The first sin that was ever committed in this world was done in reaction to the devil lying to a person, making them believe that God was not good. And I'm going to tell you something this morning. One reason you may not be seeing and experiencing the glory of God in your life is because you really, honestly, secretly don't believe God is good. You've whispered these thoughts. Well, if God was good, why didn't I get that job? Well, if God's good, why did this have to happen? Well, if God's so good, why is this happening? If God's so good, why is that happening? And if you spend your life saying, no, if God's supposed to be good, why is this? You'll never see the glory of God. Can I tell you something this morning? God's good this morning, whether you and I understand it, think it is, or see it is. God is good. God's always been good. God always will be good. I'll tell you what we ought to do is get back to teaching our kids that little prayer. God is great. God is good. Now I thank you for this food. You ought to teach your children, God is good. God is always good. God is good. He's working all things together for good. God is good. Amen. I'm saying this to you, that we ought to understand that if you want to see the glory of God, start thinking and believing and practicing and living in the realm of always knowing that whatever's going on. Hey, if you're stricken with cancer, Brother Dale's sitting back there with a bad report this morning. Bunch of tumors. You know what? He ain't rolling around and mying around. God's still good, isn't he, Dale? Amen. When you can get to the point, you know what? You'll start seeing the glory of God. No matter how bad it gets in your life, God is still good. God is still good. Did you know what? Oh, the Bible said, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. You know, Brother John Bishop, we may send that out. Let me tell you why I want to send that DVD out. It's because the glory of God's on that thing. God is glorified in that thing. And did you ever notice what he said? That day he said he cried, he was down on the floor and he was hurting so bad and the pain wouldn't go away. And he said he rolled over, looked up in the sky and said, God, I don't know why I've been stricken with this. And you haven't called us understanders but believers. And Lord, I don't know why the pain won't go away. But Lord, I still believe you're good and I'm not mad at you. Are you mad at God today? You ain't going to see his glory. God is good, amen. And he said, first thing he said, Moses, You want me to show you my glory? I'll show you I'm good. Amen. I'm saying this to you, that the reason John Bishop's got the glory of God on him, the reason some of you can sense God in that man, is because when things went rough and tough and bad in his life, he could still say, God, I still love you. Lord, if yet, you know why Job has glorified God down through the ages? It's because, yea, though he slay me, yet will I serve him. God is still good. God is still good. God is still good. It doesn't make any difference what's happening in my life. God is still good. God's still good. One reason the glory of God is upon. By the way, what's the name of their ministry? What's the name of John Bishop's ministry? God is so good ministries. You wonder why the glory comes out? Hey, how would you like to have made a DVD and somebody want to buy 25,000 of them to mail out? You see what I'm saying? Because, you know what? Hey, if he'd have got on that DVD and said, boy, I'll tell you what, I was preaching. I was trying to serve God and everything struck me with this meningitis. And I tell you what, everything fell apart and I've been sick. And I tell you, I don't know about it. Who would want a DB like that? Amen. I want to tell you something. Listen, some of you wonder, Reggie, how do you keep so enthused? God is good. Amen. God is good. Every day of my life, I know God is good. I've seen a little toughness. I've seen a little roughness of life. I've seen some things that there's people sitting in this church house this morning that's got sorrow stacked upon sorrow this morning. And some of you don't even have a clue about it. But they're smiling and they're in church this morning and they haven't given up on God. Amen. I'm just saying this to you. You want to see the glory of God? You want God to be reflected in your life? You understand that God is good. Believe and live and proclaim the goodness of God in your life. Look at, flip the page to Exodus chapter 34 and verse number 6. What God said, He said in verse number 6, He said, then the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, the Lord God merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth. You know what God said? You don't know something about me? I'm good. You want the glory of God in your life? Quit complaining. Quit griping. Quit groaning. And get living under the spout of Almighty God where God's goodness is. You say, Reggie, well, I don't know. How's God good? Well, I will tell you how come God's good. He's letting me and you live on His earth this morning. Hey, this is His earth. The earth is the Lord's. Amen. He could kick you off. He letting you walk on His earth. Hey, He let me breathe His air. He's letting me eat His food. He's letting me drink His water. He gave His Son to die for me. If that's not goodness, I don't know what goodness is. He loved me while I was yet a sinner. He saved me by His grace. He gave me eternal life. He's preparing a place for me. He's coming back for me. I'm going to have a new resurrected, glorified body that'll never know sin. God is good this morning. Well, I'm going to tell you what to do. Y'all get out early. If some of you don't start saying amen, I'm going to quit and go home. God's good. Amen. I'm telling you, God's good. Are you getting the message? God is good. Second thing, if you want to see God's glory, you have to see God's greatness. You see, a lot of people walk outside tonight. They look up in the sky. They don't see nothing. But, oh, I see the handiwork of God. Amen. They walk outside in the morning and all they can think about is all the problems and pains of life. But I walk out there and see green grass growing. I tell you what, I see trees in the wind doing that. I might see a deer here. I don't tell you, that's why I don't want to live in the city. I know God's greatness is there, but it'd be hard for me to see it in them concrete jungles. I like living in the country, amen. Oh, listen, God is great. God is great. I'm telling you something. His name is Jehovah, the great I am that I am. He's the eternal self-existing one. He doesn't depend on anybody else. I want to tell you, if you want to see God's glory, you got only got to see His goodness, but you've got to see His greatness, amen. He's the God of eternity. There never was a time when He wasn't, and there never will be a time when He ain't. That's great God, amen. Hey, He's not some Johnny come lately 2,000 years ago. He's been eternally existent forever, amen. He's a great God. He's a God that's self-existent. He doesn't depend on nobody else for nothing. He's a great God, amen. He's a great God of creation. He created everything. My land sakes alive. I just to think about this. How many different trees did God create, Brother Shane? Thousands of kind of trees. They all different. I want to show you how great God is. God puts inside every seed the exact stuff to keep it the same all the time. You plant a prune tree, it's going to come up a prune tree every single time. Hey, God is great. You plant corn seed, and God Almighty is a great God. And I'll tell you, you can monkey with it all you want to, but you just keep planting corn. Corn's going to come up. He's the great God of creation. My goodness sakes alive. Think about all the deer and the spiders and the snakes and chicks, amen, and the chiggers. Well, you ain't amen in that one. Well, let's try something else. The ducks and the geese, amen. Oh, God made it all, amen. If you just think about your eyeball this morning. If you think you evolved, you're stupider than you look. You ain't studied your own eyeball. David said, I'm fearfully and wonderfully made, and that my soul knoweth right well. Oh, brother, I'm telling you, we got a great God this morning. He's the God of eternity. He's the God of creation. He's the God of holiness. Hey, man, He's the God of holiness. He's not some rip-snorting, whoremongering God that had 42 wives. He's a holy God, amen. Woo! I want to serve a holy God that sin does not dwell in His presence. We serve a great God of righteousness. He has never sinned. A great God of judgment. Hey, He will bring everything into judgment. Can I say to you this morning, He's not a great God if He does not bring every sin into judgment. But we know what the trouble is. You know why this world don't want Jesus Christ? Because He is a great God. He is so great, He's going to judge them. Amen? He's a God. He's a great God of vengeance. He's a great God of love. Boy, the great God of love. Amen. Hey, the great God of mercy. Aren't you glad God had mercy on you? The great God of forgiveness, the great God of sacrifice, the great God of substitution, the great God of peace, the great God of life, the great God of war. The Bible said the Lord is a man of war. And the Bible said He's going to come back, and I'd like to be in that war because I know how that war is going to turn out. He's the great God of heaven. But I want to tell you lost people here this morning, He's the great God of hell. And He will cast into hell those who refuse and reject the Lord Jesus Christ. He is a great God, amen. That song, How Great Our Lord, I love to hear it sung. So we see God's glory in His goodness, and we see God's glory in His greatness. But I want to tell you where you're going to see God's glory, and that's in His grace. Now hang on to your seat, and you want you to listen tight now. He said in verse 19, the third thing, He said, I will be gracious. Five times from verse 12 to 17, the phrase found grace in thy sight. This is the most important principle in seeing the glory of God. I want to tell you something, so listen to me good. The gospel message of the Bible is a gospel of grace. And grace is what gives God the glory. Now listen to me carefully. You may be sitting here this morning. Let me tell you what the gospel of grace is. The gospel, by grace are you saved. That not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should what? Boast. Lest any man should try to rob God of His glory. Now you listen to me today. Salvation is of the Lord. Did you get it? Salvation by grace means this, that you do not merit, you've never been good enough, never will be good enough to deserve being forgiven and saved. God saves you by His grace. Now here's the catch. The religions of the world preach either a works religion or a grace and works mixed religion. Either of those robs God of His glory. I want to tell you something. God is glorified when a man is saved by grace. But as long as you think that it's how you perform, how you hang out, how you endure, how you're hanging in there, and all that kind of stuff, God is not getting the glory in your life. You're getting the glory. Are you listening to me? I want you to get the gospel. I'm a gospel of grace preacher. And you're only saved one way in this Bible, by grace. By grace. That means that God gets all the glory and all the credit for saving you. And you're not nice enough, good enough, went to church enough, done enough stuff. It's all by grace. And here's why the devil hates the gospel of grace. Because in the gospel of grace, God gets all the glory. This is why the devil wants you to mix your performance and your works with your salvation. Because in that way, God is robbed of His glory. Did y'all catch that? I want you to get that this morning. He said, my grace And I'm saying this to you this morning, that there's more robbery of God going on. These preachers getting up telling you you're lost every other Sunday or two. They're glory stealers. I'm going to tell you why. Because if you've ever been saved by the grace of God, the Bible said, not your preacher, the Bible said that you've been given eternal life and shall never perish. Now either God's telling the truth or God's a lying. And I want to tell you something this morning. God has set it up so that no flesh shall glory in His presence. Amen. You say, well, I quit smoking 20 years ago. Reggie, I ain't smoked a cigarette since. And I tell you what, I believe God ought to, that ought to count for something. That don't count for nothing. That don't count for nothing. You say, I'll tell you what, I quit wearing bikinis to the beach and 16 years ago. And I'll tell you, that ought to count for something. There ain't nothing you ever done or ever will do that's going to count for nothing. The only thing that counts is the blood of Jesus Christ was shed on the cross for your sins. And if you ain't under the blood, you ain't saved, period. And if you think, well, I believe Jesus died on the cross for my sins, but that's what goats say, but. Amen. Saved by grace through faith, period. I'll tell you one thing, the religions will hate your guts, and about 62%, so not more than 62, 72% of the preachers in this country will hate your guts. Kelly, he's down there preaching that once in Greece, always in Greece. Yeah. I don't preach once in Greece, always in Greece, never have in my life. I preach saved by grace. Yeah. I preach eternal life. Yeah. So you define it. What'd you get when you got saved? I got eternal life. You say, yeah, but so-and-so went back and he sinned. Well, the Bible said he went out from us because it was not of us. It had been of us. It was no doubt would have continued with us. But they went out from us that it might be manifest, that it might be known that they were not of us. Wake up, get a little sense, amen. Read your Bible. It'll keep you from being fooled by a bunch of jerks out here. I'll tell you right now, I'm so honored. If I thought I was preaching something wrong, I'll tell you what, I stand on top of my head, ask God to forgive me and you people too. If I know it's in this book and in this Bible right, I'm going to tell you something. I've tried my best to live my best and it's still not good enough, amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. He's the one that saved us, not ourselves. You're not saving yourself. Yeah, I wished I was in a Methodist church this morning. They'd be shouting, amen. I wish I'd get in the middle of some Presbyterians. Well, they'd even stretch that. They'd stretch. Glory to God. I'll tell you right now what he was teaching this morning about the living God. You know why your kids ain't going to want your faith? Because you ain't living. I'll tell you, when your kids see you got something that lives, amen, they'll want it. They'll want it. They'll want it. They'll hang on to it for dear life. But if you're going to be if you're going to embrace dead Christianity, then expect it. Expect death to be passed on. Paul said in Galatians chapter 6, verse 13, 14, but God forbid that I should glory save in the cross. Paul said, I ain't gloried that I got knocked down on the road to Damascus and saw a great light. I ain't glory to know. I got up there and was blind and the guy touched my eyes. I ain't glory that I've been to the third heaven and had revelation that nobody else ever had. He said, I'm just glorying in the cross of Jesus Christ. I'm not glorying that I wrote 14 books of the New Testament or however many he wrote. I'm glorying in the cross of Christ. I'm not glorying that I took 3 missionary trips. I'm glorying in the cross. And I'm going to tell you why we don't see the glory of God anymore. It's because it's a big flesh show. It's all about us. It's not about Him. I want to see the glory of God. Ephesians 3:21 said unto Him, be glory in the church. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 26, let us not be desirous of vain glory. Stupid, empty glory. This world can give us. You never see God's glory till you see the grace of God. I'll tell you what will happen. If you ever see God's goodness, God's greatness, and God's grace, I'll tell you what you do. You'll find a place to kneel down before God and say, Lord, forgive me for thinking I've been something. Oh, God, help me to know I'm nothing. Lord Jesus, forgive me for my self-boasting. Forgive me for me thinking I'm something when I'm nothing. So we see now the prayer and we see God's plan, His glory and His goodness and grace. But we see some prohibitions that God said about seeing the glory. He said, Moses, now listen. He said, you can't see my glory in total now. You can't see my face. He said, I'm going to let you see my back parts, Moses. Boy, there's a sweet thing here. Now, let me tell you something. The Old Testament, is the New Testament enfolded. And the New Testament is the Old Testament unfolded. And I'm going to be honest with you, you can't really understand one without the other. The Old Testament shows the shadows of Jesus Christ in the gospel. But the New Testament, we have the substance of Jesus Christ. Okay? Back in the Old Testament, the dispensational lesson is, here's this. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 1 says, the law having a shadow of good things to come. Moses represented the law and the Old Testament. And here's what God is saying. He's saying, listen, Moses, you're in the Old Testament period. And in the Old Testament period, they could not see God face to face. They couldn't see the glory of God like you and I can now. But listen what the Bible says. Listen to me good, because this will be a blessing to you. In 2 Corinthians 4:6, it says, for God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God. Watch this now. In the face of Jesus Christ. Now, I'm going to tell you, here's the core truth to this whole prayer and this whole message. You will never see the glory of God till you see Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the glory of God. And here's what God says, I'm going to do. He said, Moses, you're in the Old Testament. I'm just going to let you see the back parts. They couldn't see the glory of you and I. But you and I live in the New Testament. We don't have the shadow, brother. We got the substance. Amen. Now watch this. Did you know that not only in the Old Testament, did you know Moses wasn't packing the King James Bible around with him? Now, the word's eternal, but you won't listen to me. How many of you has got a Bible this morning? Wouldn't you laugh? Raise your hand, would you? Did you know that God is showing you His glory, but you won't read it? Did you know that God wants to... The Bible said, well, I want you to take your Bibles, turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I want to show you something here. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Oh, listen. I got so tickled. I got so excited when Brother Blair said he was late. I got so tickled, you can't believe, Brother Blair. I about jumped out of the seat. He said, I was laying in bed. He said, I was a-praying. And he said, God began to speak to me. And he said, it come on me, and I couldn't help it. I had to get up and went to the table and studied for about 2 to 3 hours. You're going to get some glory when that happens to you. Did that happen to you or not, Brother Blair? God does do something to you when you get up out of bed and say, you know what, I want to visit with God. I want to read God's Word. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Let's pick up verse number 6. Here it comes. Verse number 6, chapter 3. Who also hath made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. But if the ministration of death written, that's the Old Testament, the law, engraven in stones. Now you realize where you're at. You're with Moses now. Was what? Glorious, so that the children of Israel could not steadily behold the face of Moses for the glory of his countenance, which glory was to be done away. You know, hey, listen to me this morning. This will get you. Moses' face shone just by looking at the law. How much more should our face shine by looking at grace and looking at Jesus? That's the whole essence of this thing. I'm going to tell you something. I'm sorry if this upsets you. But I've about had my belly full of sour-faced Christians. I'm just being honest with you. It makes me want to puke. There is no sense in it. It is stupid. But it tells me something. Because if you've been looking into the Bible and you've been exposing your face to the face of Jesus, you've been in this book, the light, and it's reflecting His light in you. Surely, 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 surely there'll be a smile on your face sometime. Surely there'll be some joy and gladness in your soul. What is wrong with a Christianity and a faith and a people who claim to know the King of Kings, been redeemed by His blood, experienced His grace, and they scowl and moan their way through and complain their way through life? There's got to be something wrong about it. I wouldn't want nothing to do with it. I'll tell you, Wilson boy, something. Your mom and daddy made you sit up here all your life, ain't they? I feel sorry for you. But I'm going to tell you something right now. You ain't going to be able to honestly say that there wasn't joy in my life and what in my Savior. You ain't going to say He got up there like He's a mad, sad, complaining, murmuring, griping, down the dumps preacher all His life. And I don't wonder, if I've been you boys, and my mom and daddy made me sit here and listen to some deadhead who wasn't happy about his salvation, I couldn't wait to be 18 or whenever I could get out of the house. I'd be sick every Sunday. And can I tell you something? You're here, sitting here this morning, you better think about it a little bit. You better think about what your spirit and your attitude is. You better think about it a bit. Am I in the face of Jesus Christ? Have I had His reflection in me? Do I really claim to be a child of the King? What is wrong with me that I don't have any joy? I'm going to tell you what, you get with God. You get with God. Did you know twice Moses went up in the mount 40 days and 40 nights with God? I'm telling you, get with God. God will shut His light shine upon you. I'm saying this to you. Let's continue on down. Verse number 8, how shall not the ministration of the Spirit be rather glorious? For if the ministration of condemnation, that's the law, all the law did would condemn you, if that be glory, much more doth the ministration of righteousness exceed in glory. For even that which was made glorious had no glory in this respect by the reason of the glory that excelleth. Oh, man alive, this stuff's so rich, so sweet, so good, it's unbelievable. God is saying, if the law which brought condemnation was glorious and could make a man experience the glory of God, how much more shall grace and Christ the Savior in substance, that I can talk to every day, whoever lives to intercede for me, whose spirit indwells me, how much more glorious should that be in my life? God is saying, Moses didn't have what you have. Moses didn't have the substance of Christ. Moses didn't have the book that you've got in front of you this morning. Moses didn't have, the Holy Ghost of God did not indwell the Old Testament believers. They were saved by faith. But it came on them, but not in them. Jesus said when He ascended the Spirit of God, He said, if the Spirit of Christ be in you, you're none of His. If the Holy Ghost of God, who is God, lives within me, surely, surely, surely there's some of life will come out of my soul. I want to tell you something. This is what will take you through the storms. This is what will take you through the fire. This is what will take you through the trial. I'm talking about reality. Hannah and Susanna, you listen to me this morning. I know I am sorry as dirt, but you listen to me, the God I serve, He's real. And you say, well, Daddy, sometimes I see your life and I don't see the real. I won't tell you what is real. It's when you sin and the Holy Ghost of God brings you to repentance and the realness of God makes you wish you weren't like you are. And the grace of God brings you to repentance that, oh God, change me. Read with me. Read this book. Get in that chapter. Follow me. I want you to see this thing. Verse number 11, for if that which is done away was glorious, much more that which remaineth is glorious. Seeing then we have such hope, we use great plainness of speech. And not as Moses, which put a veil over his face, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end that was abolished. He has this glory on him, that just with the law they could not look on him. Verse 14, but their minds were blinded. For until this day remaineth the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. The veil's been removed, folks. We can see Jesus now in the face of God. Watch this thing. Verse 16, nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, that's talking about Israel, the veil shall be taken away. Now watch this. Here it is. Now the Lord, by the way, this is the verse that this church was named on. So you ought to pay attention to it. Now the Lord is that Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. But we all, watch this, now here it is, with open face, beholding as in a glass, that's the Bible, the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image, to the image of Jesus Christ, from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Now understand something, every young people in this church house, listen to me. You born around here, you 2 years old, God is saying if you get in the Word of God, you read that Bible, you expose yourself to the Holy Ghost of God and the Word of God, that God will change you. Now you're 4 years old. Now you're 5 years old. The Holy Ghost convicts you. The Holy Ghost converts you. You get saved. And you're a child in Christ. And you read the Bible. And you're exposed to Bible preaching. And God is changing you from glory to glory to glory. Did you notice this morning? You saw that and heard that in front of your eyes this morning. Brother Blair said, my children are not necessarily excited about Jesus coming back. They want to live their life. That's understandable. But he said, I'm way past that. Why was he way past that? Because God is changing him from glory to glory. God can make you to where you're longing and looking for the coming of Jesus Christ. You're not dreading the appearing of God. He makes you long for your glorified body. He can make you look forward to heaven. God can change you. Where you used to, you had this junk going on. Now it's not going on any longer. And God in His Word, let's say something. We want drive-by Christianity. We want drive-up to McDonald's Christianity. And order, three Happy Burgers. Then we want, three packages of Peace French fries. And that ain't the way God works. I want to tell you something. It's from the glory to glory. The Holy Ghost changes a man. That's why if you watch people, they're not what they used to be if they stay hooked with the Lord. And they stay in that book. God will change you. Well, I want you now to look. He was talking this morning. By the way, look at that. See, it's chapter 4 and verse number 6 is where that verse is. That he, the glory of God is in the face of Jesus Christ. That's the next chapter in verse 6. And what he's telling you is this. That as you read your Bible, as you draw nigh to God, you're going to see Christ more. And watch this. As you are in the face of Jesus Christ more and more, you're going to have more and more of the glory of God upon your life. Now, I'm just going to be plain honest with you this morning. And I'm not going to go into detail. But I'm telling you, in the last some years, and boy, oh boy, oh boy, right now, it just seemed like God is doing something special in my life. I don't understand it all. I don't know what God's doing, but I'm telling you what, I just want to hang on for the ride. I just want to enjoy it. It is wonderful. I don't know all about it. I'm just saying I can tell God is doing something. And I'm telling you something else. There's been some areas of my life where the Holy Ghost showed me over here, Reggie, this ain't the way we need to go. I want you to do this different. And I said, okay, Lord. And we got here and said, now I want you to straighten this up and get this out and do this right. And then all of a sudden got over here and now the glory is starting to come in. And the glory is coming in more. And I'm telling you what, I'm getting excited about getting old because there's going to be more and more glory come. Amen. Well, I don't know if you're having a good time, but I am. Amen. Oh, listen. There's not only that dispensational, but there's the light in the light. Now, the Bible said, watch this, in 1 Corinthians 13:12, it said, we see through a glass darkly now. Now, watch this. Moses saw the back parts, and we see through the glass, face to face. But that glass has some darkness in it. It's not to revelation that you're going to see him face to face in your glorified body. We don't see everything now. And we don't see all the glory of God. I'm going to give you something. You couldn't handle all the glory of God in your mortal body. That's why you're going to need a new glorified body to handle the glory of God when you step into His presence. Amen, amen. Isn't that good? Boy, you know what? Tim, this week I was meditating on this and thinking about this and I was working one day. And I just said, dear God, I sure don't want to miss that. Yeah, I'm getting excited about going through the millennial reign. I'm excited about the Battle of Armageddon. Tim, I'm going to get to experience all kinds of wonderful things. And I don't want to miss it. Amen. You talk about glory. You get near to God. Get close to God. God will show you His glory. Well, good land of living. I've got to skip about 3 pages here or we'll never get done. I want to get to this. Look, the next thing, not that there's the prayer for God's glory to see it. There's the plan, His goodness, greatness, and His grace. Then there's that prohibition. Listen, you're just going to get to see some in this old mortal body. But then there's the place and protection while He's giving you His glory, showing you His glory. It pictures Christ in Calvary. Now, you look at your Bible real good back over in Exodus 33 because it will show you the cross. We said the Old Testament is shadows of the New Testament. There's Calvary right here in this passage of Scripture. The cross is right here. Now, number one, look in verse 21 and 22, if I can get there, 21, 22, you're going to see the cross. The Lord said, behold, there's a place by me. That's the first thing that speaks of Christ. Are you listening? I almost preached the entire message on this one word, place. He said, there's a place by me. God the Father said to Moses, hey, everybody, just look up here for me. God the Father said to Moses, there's a place, watch this, by me. You don't see my glory, Moses? Hey, Moses, wait just a minute. You just got through praying to see my glory. Okay, Moses? Go answer your prayer. Moses, there's a place by me. How many knows who is in that place by him? Where is Jesus today? He's at the right hand of the Father. He's in place. Now, how are you going to see God's glory He said, there's a place by me. How you're going to see God's glory is get in the place. In Christ. You've got it. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. God says, you want to experience my glory? You get saved. You get in Jesus Christ, that place by me. Not over here, not over there. He said, you don't see my glory? You get right here. You see, God's glory is going to be revealed and experienced through Jesus Christ. So it's Jesus Christ. God. Now, you know what? Think about this. The Bible teaches that Jesus died in my place. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place. You can just take that one little word and run it through the Bible and get blessed and see the glory of God all upside down. I mean, tell you what, just get the glory of that. Look at the next thing. And then he said, there's a place by me. And then he said, there, thou shalt stand upon a rock. Well, good grief alive, you ought to know what that rock is. Watch this. There's a place by me. That's where Christ is at. And he said, you stand upon that rock. Well, you know Jesus Christ is the rock, right? He's the smitten rock. We're out, and Jesus was smote for our sins. He's the foundation of the church. He's the stone cut out of the mountains. He's the rock coming in judgment to crush. I mean, tell you, he's the rock all the way through the Bible. And so he stand. So now he said, stand upon rock. Now watch this. In Matthew chapter 7, Jesus said, don't build your life upon the sand, but build it upon the rock. And what he's telling you there, that if you don't get on the rock, you're going to perish. You're going to go down. You hell, you're going to go under. So it's a picture of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. Now watch this here. Oh, this is good. The next thing, he speaks of Christ in the rock. And then it speaks of Christ where it says stand. Did you know what he did? He stood in my place. By the way, he's standing in my place this morning. Reggie Kelly sins. I have an advocate, Jesus Christ the righteous. Some of you don't like lawyers. You ought to change your attitude. You got one in heaven. And you without him, you ain't got a hope. I kind of told you a little curveball there, but you better understand that. You got somebody interceding for you. And that's what Jesus, he is standing in our place in for us. And hey, I want to ask you something. When you confess your sins, upon what basis does God forgive you? On the basis of Him. On the basis of His blood. Upon the basis of His bloodshed. Now, look at the next thing here. He said, there's a place by me, and you will stand upon a rock. That's all picture of Christ in Calvary. And it shall come to pass, while my, watch it, here it goes. You know, he said, while my glory is passing by, that I'll put thee in the cleft of the rock. How many tell me what happened to Jesus when he's on the cross? That soldier. Rock of, what's this? Rock of ages. Cleft for me. Let me hide myself in thee. Let the water and the blood from thy wounded side which flowed be of sin the double cure. Save from wrath and make me pure. God said, Moses, I'm going to put you in the cleft of the rock. And that's a picture again, Brother Don, of being put in Jesus Christ's sacrificial death for our sin. It is a picture, stark raven, right in front of you of Calvary. That speaks of Christ, the cleft in the rock. We're hid in Christ in God. And then, oh, I like this one. Have you ever heard that song? And cover me there with His hand, with numberless blessings, each moment He crowns, and fills with His goodness divine. And it goes to the chorus and says, and cover me there with His hand. God said, Moses, you want to see my glory? He said, you get in the place, the Lord Jesus Christ. You get on that rock. And then he said, Moses, I'm going to take you then. Once you get, I'm going to put you in the cleft. I'm going to put you in the sacrificial substitutionary death of Jesus Christ, the gospel of grace. And then he said, Moses, I'm going to cover it. Look what he said there. I'm going to cover thee with my hand. Cover thee with my hand. That's not an accidental statement. Now, rightly dividing the word of truth is just what we've been doing all morning. Here's taking Old Testament subjects, take it to the New Testament about it. What did God say he would do with Moses there? He would cover him with what? His hand. Can anybody, let's have a little Bible class here this morning. Can anybody tell me the New Testament correlation to that Old Testament statement? God's a picture of Christ, salvation, the Lord Jesus Christ. The place, the rock, the cleft, God covers with His hand. Give me the New Testament. No one, no man is able to pluck thee out of my hand.
Amen.
That's rightly dividing the word of truth. You know what God is telling Moses? I got you covered.
Right.
Woo! Hey, I'm covered. I'm in His hand. My sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me and I give unto them eternal life and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which is greater than all, which gave them me, greater than all, no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. Well, I'm going to tell you something, folks. That's glory. You know what gives God the glory today? You know what? It tickles me to death to tell the devil he can't get me. He said, you better watch out. The devil's going to get you. No, he ain't. No, he's not. No, he is not. You know what you ought to do? You ought to say, no, he's not. He ain't going to get me. You know why he ain't going to get me? Because I'm covered in his hand. By the way, I'm in his hand. Well, there's a final thing here, and I'm going to let you out. I'll tell you what, I was having myself a good time until I got to the last thing. And then when I got to the last thing, it humbled me. Boy, oh boy, oh boy. I promise you, I'm on the last page. There's a prerequisite for seeing God's glory that I never caught here. It's in verse 22. Can anybody tell me what it is before I say it? Just, I'm not trying to be spiritual because I ain't. I'm just trying to make you think. It's in verse 22. What had to happen in order for God's glory to appear in Moses' life? Go ahead. Try. Okay, that's all right. Just keep looking. Huh? Had to be in Christ. In verse 20, maybe I gave you the wrong verse. No, I didn't. It's in there. It's a little word. Cover. Cover. Watch this, everybody. God said, you want to see my glory? All right, you got to come to Christ. Get on the rock. You've got to be in the cleft of the rock. That means you've got to trust in His death, burial, and resurrection, His being crucified for your sins. And then God said, I will cover thee. Now watch this. Then the glory will come. How many sees it? You will never, and I will never, see the glory of God then as long as our flesh is showing. And I was studying this thing, and it's like God waited till the very last to show me the great secret of why churches and people do not see the glory. How many has ever seen anybody preach in the flesh? How many knows this experimentally, that God's glory will recede from your home, from your life, from your family, when you get in the flesh? There's a prerequisite for seeing God's glory, and that is that means your flesh has to be out of the way. Can I tell you why churches are going contemporary? They're in the flesh and God's glory lifts. So they have to bring in a substitute glory. A false glory. Because they want their flesh. Let me tell you about something. If you think about this for just a minute. You and I will not be able to see God's glory nor reflect God's glory as long as our flesh is in view. Uncover. Let's take it. Look, watch this here. If your physical flesh is exposed, does God get glory? Will God give you His glory? No. God's not involved in nakedness. But when your flesh nature is exposed, for instance, you get angry, glory gone. You get jealous, glory gone. You get envious, glory gone. You've got ulterior motives, glory gone. I'm going to tell you something. I have learned out of this, Brother Ralph, and God nailed my hide. Reggie, you keep your flesh out of the message, or I will not give you my glory. Reggie, you keep flesh out of this church, or I will lift my glory. Reggie, you keep flesh out of your home, or you won't see my glory. Does this make sense? God had to cover Moses. Then his glory came by. As long as our flesh, let me say something to you. I get up here and I preach and it's all about me and I'm trying to impress people. I go to a preacher meeting somewhere and I'm trying to impress them how much I know and blah, 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 blah. You know, God ain't within 1,000 miles of that. You get up here and sing and you want people to think you are a beautiful singer. That you're good. Did you realize that His glory will leave you like a rocket? You get up here and play that piano, sister, and you act like you something. You see, who is it gave you fingers? Who is it gave you the ability? Who is it gave you the ability to play? But if you don't give God the glory, did you know what? And here's what's funny. People spot that in a heartbeat. And I'll tell you, God's glory will recede. And that's what happened to Israel. They started getting fleshly, and the glory of God departed from them. I'm telling you something this morning. This is some of the greatest stuff you'll ever get a hold of in your life. And as long as we're exalting and feeding the flesh, God's glory is not around. I'm telling you this, preaching, singing, teaching, anything, our talk, our walk, our dress, our heart, our mind, our attitude, our motives, anything that exalts the flesh will cause the glory of God not to be present. Let's stand. I appreciate your patience with my preaching, but I'm giving you everything within my heart. I want to grow in the Lord, and I want to see God's glory. I want to see God's glory. The biggest thing I got out of this, folks, is that we ain't going to have God's glory if our flesh is in it. We need to get the flesh out of it. Love you. Let's see if we can't sing this little song. You know, everything we do, let's make up our mind this morning that we're going to do all to the glory of God. Let's just, you know what, Lord, if I'm going to cut wood tomorrow, I just want to do it to your glory. Lord, wherever I go to work tomorrow, I just want to do it for your glory. You know what? You're a pretty good volleyball player. But I want to tell you something. God gave you that. But I'm going to tell you something. If you'll say, God, show me your glory, and you glorify God with what He's given you, then He'll bless it. I'm serious with you. It's the big secret of life. I mean, tell you what, there's all across this church house, there's people with all different, it's unbelievable to me, all the different things that God is doing in people's life. The secret is going to be, will we glorify God in our life, in our family, and we won't try after he's blessed it, we won't try to sneak in and steal the glory. Is this making sense? I don't know about you, but I'm telling you what, this is, maybe I'm the most fleshly person in this auditorium, and I need it the worst. But I'm telling you what, I need help on. So let's sing this and go home, and you pray while you sing. Oh, God, make this real in my eye.